Welcome everybody. I invite you to join with our study this morning as we continue to look at the application of authority and authority. We've looked at quite a few details regarding it. We left off last week. We finished up talking some about expedience and aids. Talked about what are aids, what are expedients, what are optionals, or things that we have option in, judgment in. Talked a little bit about those. I'd like to take just a minute to mention that a lot of times after classes, you all always have such good comments, and people come up to me often and make great additions to the class, and I wanted to bring out, Lowell got up with me last Sunday afterwards, and he brought up a very good point, he always does, to add to our study from last week, and he was commenting on the specific commands and what that God gave. We see His character in the Old Testament when it came to the tabernacle and to the things of the old. He mentioned, if you remember in Exodus, I think it's 20, somewhere toward the end of the chapter, it talks about building of the altar. And it's pointed out there that out of all this lavish building of this temple or this tabernacle, all the lavish things that were built and made, the stones that were cut, and all the stuff that was built with tools and made to perfection according to the pattern that God gave them, He specified when it came to the altar that He didn't want those stones touched or hewn with tool. No tools. Don't touch them. We make that point. It's a good point. We make that point to understand that even in old, man understood and highly respected God's instruction when it came to these rules or these commands that He gave him. He understood His restraint when God spoke. It's no different today. We need to make the same application today that they made back then. When God speaks and He gives us command, He gives us instruction, we need to respect that and leave that as it is. When it comes to these expedients, when it comes to aids, those are just means that we're allowed to carry out the command. They're not means to change or alter the command. Start off this morning with just a short list. I think I put them on the handouts. Of things that we have in the realm where we have judgment or option. We can use our reasoning in. Quickly go through these. Number one, time to assemble on the Lord's Day for worship. It's one thing we've mentioned some of these in other contexts before, but the time that we come together on the Lord's Day, that's something that God left. It's a command that we come together, and we come together on the first day of the week, so we're obligated to have to do that. But He leaves to our judgment when that time is. Length of the worship or sermon. Size of a local congregation. We see many different congregations sometimes in the larger towns and cities. You know, what determines that? How many times to meet on the Lord's Day or even during the week? We see differing options on that through different areas. How to dress when we come to worship. Now, we don't have any specifics on that, but we have a lot of outlying instruction. We know that we have to meet other commands that God have. Remember, our expedience, our commands, and our other liberties that we take can't conflict God's commands somewhere else. They have to harmonize. So we know that we have to dress in modesty. We have to dress fittingly. I think it helps us to understand when we consider these things, when we stop for a moment, we realize what we're coming for, who we're coming to praise and to worship, and that kind of gives us a feeling of gravity, a feeling of meaning of what we're here for, and who we're here to worship, being a great God that gave us life and that sustains everything. And we need to present ourselves before Him in a manner befitting who He is and what He deserves. Other things that we talk about or mentioned in the past, how many elders or deacons in a congregation, that we have border scripture for that. We know from Acts 14:23, Titus 1:5, and Philippians 1:1 that it has to be a plurality, doesn't it? We're told it has to be elders. But after that, God gives us a specific in the fact that it has to be multiple, but He does not give us specific in how many. He leaves that for us to decide. How long elders or deacons are to serve? How we come about a place to come together? We're commanded to come together as a group. You know, whether we rent, buy, or whatever we do, or as far as that goes, even how we furnish the building that we decide to meet in, or the place that we decide to come together. God leaves a lot of options open to man, but man only has options where God allows him options by leaving it open. That's the only place that we have those things. Considering these matters, even if you consider something that's as cut and dry as baptism is, when we look at God's Word, it still leaves some things for man's judgment or man's opinion in. We know from times past, I've not seen it in a long time, and I don't know that I've ever even attended one, but I know it used to be common practice that baptisms were held in whatever body of water was available. You know, buildings, a baptistry wasn't an expedient or an aid that was readily available to every congregation, and they utilized lakes, they utilized creeks, or whatever means to them. But see, that's option that's allowed to us by God, not specifying where we are to baptize. You could look at the qualifications for those who do the baptizing. A lot is left there for man's discretion by God. What kind of clothes are to be worn? There's a whole lot of things when you start dissecting things to the nth degree, and we've got to be careful that we don't pass up what God is explaining to us and go beyond and cause more problems than we solve. But man's options are not God's laws. They're freedoms He's allowed us, but there's not laws that we enforce on others. I know CL brought out a good point there last week about where options can become something that obligates us in the way that we have options to set our meeting times, but once we set those, we have obligations to God's command to be together. So we have to come together to those. But when it comes to these expedients or aids, how we carry these things out, the commands of God, how we carry them out, can't change what we're carrying out or God's command. And they're not law. These are options that He's allowed us. Is there any comments or anybody wants to make on that? We're going to look at some illustrations of expedience for just a minute. Hope we get through the end of this today so that we can start next week on Revelation versus reasoning. Some illustrations of expedience. Number one, the command to worship infers a place that we come together. I've made use or mentioned these same examples in other places as we've looked at different aspects of authority so that it's easy to keep together as we look at the same examples through every step. We have this option to rent, to build, to come together. It goes down even further in the furnishings, the chairs, all the things that we have that's within it. But they're all involved in carrying out a commandment that God gave us to come together. We mentioned that it can't be bound as law. The fact that we have a baptistry can't be bound as law on another congregation. We can't bind in law the things that God does not bind. We can choose to meet in a field. We wouldn't have to have a builder. We wouldn't have to have any of these things. But under the command of God to come together, and come together on the first day of the week, and by Him leaving us the area to draw our conclusions, we wouldn't get to meet very often if we did it that way, because the weather and everything else that would keep us from doing that. We have a necessity to be together on a regular basis and to observe the things that God would have us to do on the first day of the week. And that's why we have the things that we do. We use common sense in allowing or aiding ourselves in being able to come together and satisfy what God has commanded us to do. The command to baptize, that infers that we got to have a place to baptize someone. Now, just as we talked about a place to meet, we can baptize in lakes, rivers, creeks, whatever we decide that we want to do, and it's perfectly acceptable to that. It may not always be readily available and able to do. So we know with our command to baptize, God does not give us specific instruction on what mode, means, or place. So we have baptismal we have baptismal options that we have within our building. Baptistries. Sometimes my mind don't work. Number three, we have a command to evangelize, don't we? When we come together, what is one of the main reasons that we come together? It's to save the souls, to spread God's word. It's our intent or our hope that there's those among us that have never accepted Christ as their Savior, that as we put the word out, God's word out, that it causes them to think, to weigh their options, to weigh their souls, their place, what their eternity stands to be, and in hopes that they will come forward and make their life right. And with that in mind, I've never been anywhere that they don't offer an invitation song when it comes to worship service. Are there places that probably don't? I've never been to one, but that's an option that we have, is to extend that invitation song to encourage, to give pause and moment for one to collect his thoughts and weigh his life to come forward. The fourth example that I had there was, we're commanded to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. We have some specifics in regards to those. But for the most part, God allows those things to our judgment of how we carry those out. As long as what we do and how we carry those things out to help them does not conflict or is contrary to another commandment that God has, which brings us into the fact that optionals can't conflict with other of their commands of God. And in this case, we know that man's responsibility as far as an individual Christian and the oversight of the Lord's treasury makes difference in some of these things, and we have to rightly apply those things and keep them in the proper context, or we can come to wrong conclusions just as much of the world has. God expects humans, or us, to use our common sense in the carrying out of that He commands us to do, and not to alter what He commands us to do. Can't allow an option or a matter of judgment to conflict with God's Word somewhere else. I know this is probably our 11th or meeting class, and we see just from our class and what we've done this quarter, we're reminded of how important it is that we have a well-rounded knowledge of what God says on subjects. We can't go to John 3:16 and preach salvation alone. We can't go to one verse a lot of time and find the scriptural authority for the things that we do. It's so important that we know God's thoughts on the subject, that we know His will. That's what we talked about the first week. What is God's will on the subject? What has He written? Not what we've inferred. What has God written that He wants? because we know that judgment day we will be judged by what is written in our lives. So it's important that we keep a knowledge of God's Word and that we work continuously on that, because those things that are always changing, our level, our maturity can always be better. It's like any good athlete. They can always get better. Someone who plays the piano can always get better. You never reach the pinnacle or the best that you can be, so we should constantly strive to grow. When God commands what He wants, looking at Mark 7 and verse 8, just a few questions to spur our mind, and then we'll move on. In Mark 7 and verse 8, there we see an example where Christ here says, talking to the Pharisees and the scribes there, He's reprimanding them or rebuking them here, but He says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things that you do." See an example here, and it answers the question for us. When God commands us what He wants, does man have an option to do what God commands or what he wants to do? And we see time and time again, man is not given the option to do what he wants to do. The command is always strictly observed and held. The means occasionally is given the freedom to us to achieve that command or to obey it. But we see here as an example of the Pharisees and the scribes that they had allowed their own traditions in this case. Could be opinions, could be additions or subtractions to God's Word today. But when you allow those things to take the place of God's commands, we see that those things are wrong. While we're there in Mark 16:15, toward the end of the verse, when the Great Commission is given there, Christ says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." When God gives a command, does He leave room for human judgment in the execution of the command? And we have to say yes. In many things, God gives us a command, and He allows us freedom by the fact that He doesn't give us specific instruction. Otherwise, if there's specific instruction, we're obligated to follow it. So yes, God does give commands and allow some human judgment in the execution of those things. I was thinking about the term optional that we've used a lot, or options that we have, freedoms or liberties or whatever, but I was thinking of a definition to give for those. What would be a definition for an optional? And I just, first thing that came to my mind, it's an uncommanded means to obey God's commandments. It's a specified way, a specific way or means to obey God's commandments. It's one that we have the freedom of judgment in. I guess that's a bad way to say it, because we have the freedom, the option, because God has allowed it to us to facilitate or to obey God's commands. We have a difference between matters of faith. Matters of faith are obligations to us. We have to obey those, and we have to respect God's Word in matters of faith. Matters of expediency or carrying out are optional in a lot of cases. So matters of faith, we have no choice. They're obligations to us. Matters of expedient, they're optional. Can a matter of expediency become a sin? We say, sure it can. We've looked at that. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul makes mention there of being brought under the power of anything. If anything's allowed to overtake or power us, we're wrong in that. We're to resist that. 1 Corinthians 10:23, we're to do those things that are helpful, those things that edify, without changing what the commandment or the instruction is for us to do. To illustrate the difference between an aid and an addition, I would say an aid facilitates obedience to a command, whereas an addition changes or alters the command. It changes by addition or it changes by subtraction. So there's a big difference between an aid and an addition. An aid is a limited thing. It's got a parameter put around it that it can't escape. It can't change God's command, whereas an addition or subtraction does do that. It changes the command in some form or fashion. God gives us freedom of judgment. He gives it to us by not specifying how we carry out the command. How we choose to obey that command cannot change the command. And something that changes the command is called an addition or a subtraction, is how I summed it up in my notes. Let's look at some matters of faith and matters of judgment very quickly. And then we'll look at next week, jumping into our revelation or the revealing of what God's given us versus our human reasoning. We just mentioned matters of faith are commanded and we're obligated to those, aren't we? Matters of judgment are expediences and they're optional. I think the thing to keep in mind about these, under matters of faith, if you're keeping notes on these, under matters of faith, we have no choice. We must not loose what God has bound. So we can't loose what God binds. Under matters of judgment, when it comes to expedient and optionals, we have choices. And we cannot bind what God has loosed. You see, those are opposites. Under faith, we're obligated. We have no choice. We can't loose what God has bound. Under matters of judgment, we have choice, but we can't bind what God has loosed. So keeping those things in our forefront of our mind, we can look at some of these subjects that we've looked at today and we understand why we do what we do. The commandment to go that we looked at in Mark 16:15, we know that we can walk, fly, ride, sail, whatever. All those carrying out are matters of judgment. The matter of faith is to go. Another matter of faith, we're commanded to teach, Matthew 28:18-20. We come with a lot of options on that, don't we? We've all attended classes here. We've attended classes in many other places. Some places use overhead. Some places use projectors. Some use songs, classes. Even the classes have different format discussions. More of a written test, pictures. I mean, there's just different forms that we use to teach. That matter of faith, or the thing that we can't change or that we can't lose, is the fact that we have to teach, and the matters of judgment are the ones that we have in carrying those out. And we have the right, the ability to put to work those things that we use. Number three, we have a command to preach. We fall back on Mark 16:15 for that as well. We're to take this word out to the world. That's our purpose. That's why we're here as the church, is to be the mechanism or the means that we bring souls to God, souls to Christ. That's the matter of faith. We can't change that. We have to preach. That has to go out to the world. We can't loose ourselves from that. On the flip side, on the matter of judgment, we're left with how to do that. We're not given specifics and all how we do that. We use radio to get that word out. We use TV, press. We preach from the pulpit. We read the Bible, parables, illustrations. And we go on and on and on, and records, tapes, many different things that we use to obey that command. We're commanded to do that, to preach, so we use those means. Number four, we're commanded to baptize. Matthew 28:19. We talked before in looking at the choices that we have. We have many different choices in where we do this. That's a matter of judgment where we do it. It's not a matter of judgment, though, that we baptize every believer for the salvation of their soul. That's the matter of faith, is to baptize. We're commanded to assemble to worship. Hebrews 10:25, John 4:24, 1 Corinthians 11:17 through 18. We do that the best means that we have. In our case, we have a building, don't we? We have times of assembly. We meet the amount of times that we've decided to be together. And we do that with option as far as our times and stuff goes. Our worship is a matter of faith. It's not a matter of option. Our being here is not a matter of option. We are required to be here for that. But the coming together is not optional. We're commanded to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I remember Larry had a class on this a while back, and you know, we looked at the prayer and different ways that it's carried out. Man's not given the specific or the restriction by God on how we pray. He's given us restriction and command on our state that we're to be in. He does give us some specifics regarding prayer, but He leaves us a lot of matters of judgment too, like kneeling to pray. We see places that have kneeling pads. In the leading of our prayer, we have a person that usually leads our prayer. Pray in song. We have various positions that we talked about in our class that we have example of in God's Word of prayer. So those are options that we're given. We're commanded to sing, Ephesians 5:19. That's a matter of faith. We have no option in that. No choices. We can't lose what God has bound. So we use songbooks, song leader, tuning fork. These are matters of judgment. We have these notes that we look at. The harmony that we sing within is worship that we give to God and the encouragement and edifying to us. We train ourselves. We come together to sing to get better at those things, because we know we offer these up as worship to God and we want to give Him our best. So the commandment to sing is a matter of faith. We can't change that or lose it. The way that we do it and the aids that we use to do that with, we have many choices, but we can't bind those because God did not bind them. Got a command to give. 1 Corinthians 16:1 through 2. We're told we're the specific or the sum of the instruction we're given is we're to give as we've been prospered, as we've purposed in our hearts. But as far as actually collecting those funds, we're not given specific command in that. We're left judgment. We use plates. We use baskets. We use different systems on how we handle the money. Some people use cash. Some people use checks. We're not told how we have to do that. God leaves us judgment in that. We're also told to partake of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:27. You know, we come together on the first day of the week because we have examples in Acts 20 and verse 7 of that, and 1 Corinthians 16, when we're instructed on our giving. But some places have multiple tables, some have one. Some people may have one piece of bread, but we have several pieces of bread to be able to distribute that. We're given that, we're using that as an aid or an expedient to carry out the command to partake of Lord's Supper as a group. What I'd leave you with, or what my study led me to, was keeping the two separate, matters of faith and matters of judgment. Matters of faith, we have no choice. We can't loose what God's bound. Matters of judgment, we have many choices, but we can't bind what God has loosed. Is there anything you want to add to expediences? Things I might have not explained well, we need to clear up. Questions or comments? Lord, you got any more good ones?
I'm just thinking about sometimes how we think about our freedom turned into be our worst enemy when it comes to serving God.
Absolutely. And that's why I chose to do this next lesson directly following this revelation of God through His Word versus the reasoning of man. Man allows his reasoning, and when he's allowed freedom, He allows that to take him outside his parameters that God holds him within. And when he's allowed to alter or change God's Word, we see that he can end up with something completely, totally different, conflicting with what God said he wanted and what his will was. We could use examples that we see around us for months and months and months. Hopefully, at the end of it's about time anyway, but hopefully at the end of our quarter here, we can spend some quality time together at the end and look at some of the things that we see around us. With this stuff fresh on our minds, look at maybe how it got to the way it was, how we've ended up so fragmented and divided, and put some of those things to application, because this whole quarter for me was a reassurance that when we look around us and we see what's happening to the church, when we see what's happening to our society, to our families, to all these things that are around us, we are starving for God's instruction. But so much of God's instruction is thrown to the wayside, ignored or changed because man's reasoning just doesn't think that will work. There's a total lack of faith that His way will work. So hopefully that's what we'll go into next week some, and we'll continue to the end on that. Anything else? Thank you, Lord.
Anything? Many times we don't look into God's Word to see exactly how we're supposed to do that.
Right.
It's like David when he moved the ark. We're supposed to take these and move the ark.
Right.
It's supposed to be carried by the Levite.
Right.
And what did it lead to?
Yep.
It led to his death.
Usually, yeah.
My brother. We have to be very careful.
Yeah.
From what we've cost someone to lose eternal life.
Right. Right. Goes back to what we was talking about in the very beginning of our quarter. You know, when we seek instruction, we should go to God's Word and let His will be revealed to us. The problem that we see around us is that man begins with his own will and goes to God's Word to piece together justification for it. He starts wrong by going to God's Word with his will instead of going to God's Word and letting it instruct him and show him what God's will is. So we get the tail wagging the dog or the wagon before the horse. Thank you very much.